Hopefully you see that info. Okay, there we go. My man.
Hey.
What's up, bro?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Meetings, back-to-back meetings, just working.
Facts. Me too. What you got? What you working on today?
I was working with a new coaching client, building out their funnel, going over like price points and what they could sell their coaching stuff for. So
like, do you also do like the coaching stuff through Hivemind as well?
Mm-hmm.
And then is that just regarding land, or is that just like a broader type of thing?
So Hivemind is, I do land marketing, land education, but I also do the software stuff. So the software stuff is, I'm an agency. I help people with websites, funnels, texting, courses, a lot of that stuff. And then I do consultations with that too. So
gotcha.
It's a lot of everything. So what I just got off with was doing a consultation on coaching, and then helping them like understand other clients that I work with, price points, what even they video, what they pitch on coaching, and just kind of giving them an idea.
That's fire. And I actually saw on my calendar that it's the third birthday of Hivemind, right?
Yeah.
Or the second.
February will be our third year.
Man, that's crazy, bro. That's crazy. Well,
yes, sir.
Dan, this is my partner, Alex.
How you doing, Alex?
I'm good, Dan. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on today.
No problem, man. No problem. Here to answer questions. Here to answer questions.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir. So for those of you guys who don't know this guy, Dan, he's a beast, man. He has his own CRM called Hivemind. And he is also a huge land investor, very investment savvy, land rich, more land rich than anybody I know.
Best kind. Kind of rich to be.
Man, facts. And, you know, anytime I see land or think about land, you know, I always reach out to this guy. I met him through the Tide Capital Mastermind. Shout out to Tide Cap. Shout out to Charles Oglesby. And he's been a very, very great help to me. And he's really expanded my mind to be able to think about development in a way, just a lot more thought out process. A lot of things in land, I didn't notice you had to do, like, you know, reach out to planning and zoning and make sure that you can get it rezoned and, you know, making sure utilities can get, like, all of these things I learned from Dan. So super happy that you're here, and I hope we can share some dope information to the masses and put them on some awesome games. So thank you again for taking the time today.
No problem, man. I'm here. I'm excited to be here. I love doing stuff like this. I'm all here about providing education and teaching the masses, because the land space is very unknown. So
yeah, not a lot of people. Definitely.
I feel like it's untapped for sure.
Yeah, it's a blue ocean for sure.
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, my bad. I'm just saying, you know, business partners with Alex and Donovan over here. Like you said, pleasure to be on. And yeah, I'm not really, don't know much about land. I'd love to learn.
Absolutely.
Kind of like, what got you Absolutely. Involved in this? How'd you even?
That was actually going to be my question. What started you with land, then?
So I kind of fell into land, man. My first business was a trucking company. So I was, it wasn't going well for me. So I was pivoting into real estate. So I was started off with houses at first. I contracted a few houses that I thought were good deals. I was just inexperienced. And I couldn't move them, man. I lost like $1,000 in earnest money on a house that I got too high. Another one, a seller passed away right before closing. And then my third endeavor, this is the final straw that hit me, was I got a house. I found a seller that had two houses. They lived in one, had a family in the other one that wasn't paying rent for months. So it was causing a lot of financial distress. So like, I think it gets a good price, negotiated the price, but I knew I had to get rid of the tenant. So I'm like, I had the seller sign, make me their landlord so I can file an eviction on them. I filed the eviction, got them out of the house. I trashed out the house. I went to closing and they had a $30,000 credit card lien on their house.
Was that back to back to back? Three deals in a row?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That'll do.
So that'll do it. Nice quick pivot. Sure. Yeah,
so my friend slash partner now, he was like, try land, see what we can do. So I already knew how to like wholesale contract and all this stuff. I'm like, let me try land.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, like Google Ads towards that website, and I got a lead. And I was living in Atlanta at the time, and the lead, she was a lady that lived in Atlanta, but she owned a property in Florida. And her motivation was people were dumping on her property. So she's like, can you help buy this thing? And I'm like, yeah, I think I can help you out. Let me do some runs of numbers. So I ran some numbers. I guessed it was worth about 20,000, Florida lot, very, very small. I was like, man, if I can get this thing for 5,000, I'm gonna make some money. I don't know how much I'm gonna make, but I'm gonna make some money. But I was afraid to get on the phone. So the lead came in through a website. So I had her email. So I was just emailing her. And I was like, would you take $4,233.35?
Yeah, you gotta kind of make a random number.
Random number. So it shows that you calculated it. And she's like, can you just do five? And I'm like, yeah, let's do five. I mean, that's wherever I was at. So I contracted her for five, all through email, never spoke to the seller.
Damn.
I put it on Facebook Marketplace for 12,000, and I found a buyer in 2 days off Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, wow. With 5,000 down.
Huh?
5,000 down.
No, 5,000's with the seller. I found a buyer for 12.
Right. Right, but you got it for five. Oh, sorry. Did you do like a wholesale contract with the land?
Wholesaling. I was wholesaling.
Okay.
Wholesaling. So
nice.
I never talked to the buyer either. We contracted it. We closed like 2 weeks later. Five went to the seller. I ended up getting like $6,500 after closing, and the rest is history. Nice. I've been doing land ever since.
And when was that?
That was 2018.
Okay, yeah.
Nice. Good little run there now. What, five years? Five going
up? I've been doing land for five. I've been in real estate for 5 years now.
Bro, he's the beast. Shout out to Hivemind. We got a lovely Hivemind user in the comments. So we got the origins, right? So let's take it to now. Obviously, you guys have done, you and Anthony. We got to get Anthony on one day as well. But Anthony is his partner that he's speaking of, and they run Hivemind together.
Okay.
But if you have a ballpark number, how much land have you, not necessarily in acres, but just in value, how much have you moved since then?
We probably did 1 million last year. And this year we've done this year's not over. We have a big deal closing on December 28th. Nice. So if that deal closes, we'll probably close on close to 7 this year.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. That's astonishing. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll probably, and I don't have the exact numbers. I'm gonna be better with my KPIs next year. But we had a $3.5 million we sold for 4.5, and then we've done a bunch of small deals. I mean, I did a land deal that was 430 in June, so I mean that's five right there.
And even with all your troubles that you had when you first started real estate and switched over to land, have you decided to go back into real estate now, or you stay away?
I mean, I'm all land, man. I'm all land. It's a blue ocean.
I don't blame you for that. Yeah. Absolutely not.
I'm all land. I've only done one house deal, so I'm sticking to my guns.
I have a quick question for you, actually, regarding that. I feel like land, while it is like kind of untapped, you don't meet a lot of land investors, but you definitely do meet a lot of people that are interested in the idea of land. They talk about possibly investing in land. What were some of the challenges that you faced early on, back maybe 2018, 2019, where you're sort of still establishing yourself in that?
I mean, it always comes down to the basics. It's marketing, well, marketing channels, conversions, leads, follow-up. I mean, it's all that, all the same stuff everybody struggles with right now. One of the main major pain points, I mean, all the way through is getting capital. So there's millions and billions of dollars of capital for single family, multifamily, storage, and all these other different asset classes. But with land, no one understands it. So we've really had to build up a good track record and relationship with our lenders to even help lend on land, because everybody will lend on houses because it's very straightforward to the point.
Go ahead, Deshane, my bad.
My bad. I was gonna say, was that a big hurdle to kind of open their mind up to change their lending?
It's a hurdle now, man. It's a hurdle. It's a pain point I have right now. Like, we're trying to raise a lot of money right now. We're trying to raise $25 million in the next 12 months.
Well, sounds like you're on the road for it, though.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, we have to have that conversation. We have to teach them those early on deals, how we made money on it, how we can make ROI on leveraging seller financing, finding good opportunities, creating value add opportunities. So there's a lot that comes into that. So it's just educating masses on what opportunity can be made and can be created.
So I wanted to segue into that, because Dan, like, he's taught me a lot about creative finance. Even, you know, I think last year in 2022 is when I really started to watch Pace Morby and, you know, understand creative finance and stuff. But I hadn't realized, you know, being in the shameless plug to the Thai Capital Mastermind, but being in the mastermind and, you know, seeing some of the quick webinars and quick lessons that Dan taught about seller financing, I'm like, man, I really have somebody that I can touch base with and reach out to that's right here in my network. So talk about what creative financing has been able to open up for you and your company with land.
So one thing, I love creative finance because it turns the sellers into banks. The leverage we get with that is that we don't have to go to banks. We don't have to necessarily leverage banks. We don't have to go. And, like, if anybody's done, like, a hard money loan paperwork, like that's its own obstacle in itself. So like talking to hard money, talking to banks, like having those conversations it's a real pain. So like all the capital resources we have up to the now has been through private capital that we've built relationships with that lend on the deal, and then less seller financing. Hey, let's talk to the seller. Let's get them to carry back a note. Let's secure them with their own property. Let's give them payments over time. Let's talk about balloons and all this stuff. So when you have the seller be the bank, you can get whatever amount of loan you want. So like Navy Federal came up in the news because they were denying minorities for loans. Imagine you go into the bank of seller finance and you just have to negotiate that up front. And they don't run our credit. They don't run our background check. They don't run all that stuff. It's just you write it up in the contract, and if they sign off on it, they're the bank.
Something we gotta tap into, man. Seller finance.
Never thought about it like that.
I feel like it's kind of been the way to go lately, especially with interest rates out of the roof, people struggling to get the financing for things. I feel like a lot of people have switched towards creative financing lately.
Well, the reason why I like land too is that because a lot of these owners, they have a lot of equity, and they've acquired through seller financing. So like, one of the big things I love about land is because it's one of those things where like there's not a lot of resources for land banking as far as getting a land loan or anything like that. So a lot of these owners, they've acquired through seller financing. And then when you ask them to seller finance themselves, they understand it because they've done it before. So it's with land being not easily accessible, they usually acquire and they sell through seller financing. So they're very up to date and understand what they're doing in most cases. And they're usually open to it because they have a lot of equity. Because most of the time, they might have owned it for either they owned it for a long time. And like we talk, most of our sellers are older. They're sophisticated. They own a lot of land and they own it free and clear. So whenever money gets tight or whenever they think market's up, they'll sell off 2,100 acres here and there. And like these landowners, they own a lot of land. Like we talked to bunch of owners that own 2,000 acres or more, and they'll just off little chunks here and there whenever they need to, or whenever they feel the time's right. Hmm. And if they hold it for longer, they're just gonna get more money later on. So it's a good way to hold and create value if you can afford to.
I like that.
Well, that's it. Yep.
I had a question. So rental properties, you know, the appeal, they have cash flow, fix and flips. The appeal is, you know, a big check at the end of sort of like, you know, a lot of hard work. So those are kind of, you know, that's the fruits of the labor that you're looking for. That's what people tend to gravitate towards when they're doing that. What would you say the equivalent is of that for land? Is it the appreciation of it? Is the opportunity to build things on your land? What would you say that point is for you?
So I'll address both of those. So think of like a fix and flip. So a fix and flip, you're going to buy a $100,000 house for 20 grand, put $30,000 in repairs, and you have $50,000 of equity. You have to pay the agent fees and commissions and private capital. So you might make like 30 grand on that house. We've done most of our deals. We've made a huge spread just because we get arbitrage. So you can do a land flip or a land wholesale and make a lot of money. We have one of our clients, he's probably made $200,000 with us just wholesaling us deals. He's done two deals with us and he's made $100,000 profit just by wholesaling the deal to us.
Wow.
So think about that. And like when you're dealing with bigger assets, you can create bigger spreads as far as wholesaling goes.
True.
So I have a guy in my network, he made $2.2 million wholesale off of one deal.
Sorry, say that again.
He made $2 million off of one deal wholesale.
Yeah, maybe we're missing out on something right here, man.
We're missing out, yeah, absolutely.
It's one of those things where, like, a house, you can only make so much money on a house because it's only valued at so much, and you can't sell a $200,000 house for $250 or $300 because there's verified comps there. And you're not going to wholesale a $1 million house because most of the time they have debt on it.
Right.
And you might not have that.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a lot of issues.
Yep.
But land, they own it free and clear. You can really get a good deal sometimes. And then the people talk about stocks, about like you got to buy at the bottom. Amazon's at the bottom. It's a 5-year low, whatever. Everybody talks about buying at the bottom. Land is the equivalent of buying at the bottom every time. And if you can buy a discounted deal, you're buying below the bottom with the opportunity to increase the value. So like I like land because it's one of those things where like you can add paperwork, you can change zoning, you can build a multifamily on it, you can build a house, you can build a duplex, you can build whatever you want on that property, and now it's worth more. But when you buy land only, you're buying at the bottom every time.
Right.
So
right.
To touch on what you said about you had the guy who made millions wholesale with you, 200,000 wholesale with you. Some of the other investors we've spoken to, you know, guys have 80% of their deals are coming from the MLS. You know, some are coming from the network. Where would you say you're finding your deals? Is through online or is it through your personal network? Kind of just run us through.
Yeah. So in the past years, it was through marketing. We ran a lot of like PPC, which is like website marketing and texting. But with regulation, with texting that passed in September, we've kind of pivoted. And when we built our community, it all came through the community. And what we teach our students is we go through MLS. So mostly all of our deals now come in through the MLS, through our community. And we're just teaching them to hit properties that have been on market for 6 months or more in most cases, because they just sit there. So
you're
like,
the second investor, sorry to cut you off, but you're the second investor to say that they use a lot of stuff off MLS. We had Michael Zuber on here too, and he said the same thing. I just found that interesting.
Yeah, so that. MLS is its underlying motivation. I mean, if they're on the MLS, they want to sell. Putting it somewhere to sell.
Right.
But one of the great things about the MLS with land is it sits there for 6 months. You can go to Zillow right now and find hundreds of land parcels that have been on the market for 6 months or more, and you'll find hundreds of them in Texas.
So what would make one piece of land more desirable than another? What are you looking for? Like when you look for a house, you know, you're looking for certain features, a garage, you know, a nice walk up. What are you looking for when it comes to land?
Great question.
Generally we're looking for road frontage. We like properties with a lot of road frontage. And then we're looking for opportunities that have been on the market for a long time. So they're seasoned. When they're seasoned, the seller's ready to negotiate. Like they might not have had one offer in months. So when you make a creative finance offer, they're like, okay, let me take this a little more seriously, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it was very similar, you know, with the deal that we looked at earlier this year, Dan, in South Carolina, where it was on the market for a long while. And it was because of the way it was zoned, and, you know, we couldn't alter the zoning. And I'm sure that that's obviously a piece of it as well, making sure. And that's something that I've learned is that, you know, with something like just how, you know, normal investors have a buy box when it comes to, you know, single family, multifamily, you as a land investor, you have a buy box as well. And I remember us having a discussion about, you know, getting high density residential, making sure it gets rezoned. But also, I think you spoke to me about getting into, I want to say it was commercial land as well. So could you touch a little bit on that and what that process has been like?
I try not to mess with commercial land. There's a lot more hoops that come with that. You can get a variance to change the zoning, but that's usually dealing with a lot of paperwork, and it's really got to be a property you want. And what I do is, like, I'm not necessarily looking for the perfect deal. I'm just looking for opportunity that has some type of arbitrage. So we have a commercial deal we've been working for the last year. I don't know when it'll bear fruit, and it might never bear fruit, you know? So I like agricultural land. I like little info lots. I like opportunities that, you know, you could, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, per se. Commercial land, it's very hearsay. So I try to stay away from commercial land personally. Even though we do have one working where we might make a lot of money on it, it's not a sure thing.
Gotcha. So just it's a higher barrier to entry than it would be for agricultural or residential.
Yeah, 100%. Gotcha.
So let's pivot real quick and talk about the hive mind conglomerate, man. So, you know, what made you get into the CRM space?
It was out of necessity. When I started it almost 3 years ago, there wasn't a lot of resources out there. And I had the opportunity to start it and help other people with it. And I was naturally drawn to the tech side, integrator side of things. And that's where my strong suit was. So I'm like, let me dig into this and see if I can help other clients with it, because it seems like a lot of people in general, they struggle with that.
Yeah, part.
They struggle a lot. So if I can help a lot of people with that side of it, I'd rather help a lot of people with that side of it.
That's fire.
I like that.
And I'm sure that obviously now with, you know, a lot of, I wouldn't say competitors, but I'll say different counterparts, you know, your pipe drives, your HubSpots, your, you know, those different types of CRMs. What do you feel sets HiveMind apart?
So I'm okay with it. I mean, I'm all fine with it. Like me, like there's people always talk about like trucking being a $1 billion industry, and there's I always made me laugh because there's a lot of opportunity. And like, I don't want millions of clients. I don't want thousands of clients. I'm good with my 500 or less clients that just pay me a lot more.
Yep.
And I'd rather have quality paying clients than thousands of them.
Just to say you got thousands. You know?
Yeah, just to say you got thousands. So that's kind of my angle. And when I first started, it wasn't necessarily like that, but I've learned over time that the cheaper clients are a lot more troublesome. They want a lot more help. They want a lot more support. They want a lot more they charge backs for stupid reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a whole chargeback wave back when I was doing that. And I'm good.
Felt that. So I wanted to talk. Well, Alex, did you have anything before we moved on?
Really quickly. So you've mentioned arbitrage a couple times, and we know what you're talking about, but for some of the people that are listening, they may not. Do you actually mind breaking that down really quick?
Yeah, so arbitrage is essentially finding, and people on Amazon do it too. They find stuff at the grocery store, and then they'll sell it on Amazon at a higher price. It's just a price discrepancy in the market. So there's different types of arbitrage in land. I talk about price arbitrage, where you get a cash deal. There's debt arbitrage, where you can get good seller financing terms and then offer seller financing terms to end buyers to get debt arbitrage.
Also,
and then one thing
a wrap, right?
Yeah, a wrap essentially. And then one thing I'm going to coin to the day I die, I told Anthony I'm going to start using it more, but it's parcel arbitrage. So you can buy, in the land space, you can buy large acreage, and sometimes it's already subdivided down. So one of our strategies is we subdivide properties, we'll buy large acreage and subdivide it down. It's a form of parcel arbitrage, but sometimes it's already done for you, and you can do that after, you can do it with the deal itself. So it's a partial arbitrage.
Parcel arbitrage. Yeah, that's
yeah.
Hey, they got that one for free.
Nah, for sure.
That one for free.
I'm glad I asked that. $1 million worth of game for $9.99, man.
What do you mean? Somebody asked what do you mean by subdivide?
Go ahead.
Subdivide is, I'll tell you a couple deals we got going on right now. One's supposed to close by the end of the year. It's a crazy. So 10 acre lot. We got this in a certain city in Texas. I'm not going to say it, but we're doing other deals. I can't spill all the game, but it's a 10 acre lot. We had a lot of frontage on it on three corners. And we're subdividing that down into, it's 9.9 acres, and we're subdividing it down into 11 lots. We picked up the 9 acres for $225, and a wholesaler got it for $175. So he made $50,000. Imagine doing a flip.
Yep.
Like
anybody listening, go holler at your boy, man. Get you some
he wholesaled that and made $50,000. So like he did all right without doing any work. It took like 60 days to close, but we're selling the 11 lots each for $60,000.
Money to be made,
100%. So that's why he got paid a lot of money. I mean, he brought us a great opportunity with great opportunity to upside, and we're making a lot of money on our side too.
Bring it to Dan, bro. I'm telling you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Bring it to Dan.
We're doing another deal too. It should be closing today. We picked up 18 acres. And it was parcel arbitrage.
Mm.
So we had one of our lenders come in. It was purchase price was $400, and we sold three. We contracted three lots. It was 18 acres. If it was 18 acres in one lot, we would never have bought it. But the reason why we bought it is because it was 18 acres in four lots. So parcel arbitrage. We sold three of the four lots. We closed on it on a Thursday. And we had contracts out for buyers by Monday, three of them, for $600. And we still have
selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, we're selling like hotcakes. So we still have one more lot to sell. We're giving our lender $200,000 on that. So the first three lots is all profit. That means the money back and profit. So they get all three lots, and then we're getting the last lot free and clear, and that's our profit. So that was under 30 days. So they're getting like a 480% return. Annualized return, because they're getting 50% of their cash back in under a month.
So you really bring a lot of value. Your investors are bringing value to
money to them.
Yeah, 100%. So our private lenders give us the ability to act fast, and we're able to reciprocate that back with a good ROI.
That's a luxury.
That's fire. And I want to piggyback off of that. And, you know, the word that comes to mind, even – you know, on these calls that we've been on, Alex, that a lot of successful investors have is leverage. So, like, when you're able to leverage OPM, right? For those of you who don't know, OPM is other people's money. Once you're able to leverage that, because, you know, let's just say, you know, on a smaller level, if you buy a $200,000 house with $50,000 in rehab with your own money, you can only do that one time. Versus if you buy, if you have a lender that can give you 20% down on five $200,000 houses, and now you're doing five at once. So, you know, it's the leverage piece is super, super important. Dan, what's the biggest acreage deal you've ever done?
Biggest acreage we did was 350 acres. The deal closing end of the month is 244.
Mm.
So we like larger gauge parcels.
We tried to get one earlier this year, man, but it just didn't work out. But I always try to look for bigger parcels for Dan because I know he can take it down. Yep. So if y'all got a big deal that y'all can get seller financing on and get good terms, and real quick, Dan, what are good terms for you?
So this is what I teach. So I try not to negotiate price because price doesn't matter if you can get good great terms.
Yep.
So usually what I'll do, and this isn't like the silver bullet for every deal. It's just as long as it's reasonably priced, where you can make money, it's a good offer. So you can shoot 10% down or less. So say it's $1 million, you shoot $100,000 down or less, and you can make that judgment call based off of whatever deal you're at. And then the base offer we always make is 360 equal payments of whatever the difference is. So if you do 900 divided by 360, that's your monthly payment. Usually they're not going to say yes to this, but the reason why we ask for this is because they're going to counter and be like, hey, I can do 10 years.
You're trying to elicit motivation.
Yeah. I want them to carry for at least 24 months, but I'm going to ask for 30 years. So if I ask for 30 years, like for instance, this is the base offer I always go to. I have one seller that's given us 5 years. I have another one that's given us 24 months. I have one that's given us 18 months. I had one that he was going to give us 36 months. And he's like, let me consult with my attorney. He's like, well, the law says we have to do 5 years, so let's do 5 years. Even though with land, we don't have to follow house rules. So house rules, you have to do 5 years. So he's like, let's do 5 years. I'm like, all right, let's do 5 years. Like he countered us backwards. I'm like, okay, thank you.
Whatever works for you.
Whatever works
for you. Like, that's also a teachable moment that attorneys do not always know what they're talking about.
Yes.
These facts. Are people that have went to law school and paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to learn about law, and you literally don't know the law. Like, that's so crazy.
So it's all nuance. So like we always ask for 30 years, and whatever we can get, we're trying to work that deal. That's all it is. So.
All right, Dan. Where can the people find you? How can they connect with you? What things do you have coming up in 2024?
2024, like I said, we're starting a capital fund to raise capital for our deals.
We are too. That's what's up.
Are you really?
Yeah, we're that's actually what's on the board now. So you know, Reg D 503B or 506B or 506C, one of the two, but we're going to be doing multifamily. So,
okay. We should talk about that.
Yeah, online. We're going to talk. Don't worry about it. We're going to talk.
Yeah, we're doing a 506C.
That's what's up. Yeah, we're definitely going to have to have a further conversation.
Yeah, we're doing a 506C. So our funds
actually. Is that going to be purely for land?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
We're creating a debt fund.
We might have to bring you on for another call. Obviously, we can't give them all the sauce, but
yeah. So
we should be. Hey, if I was listening to this, I would try to be a client right now.
Sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. So
I might even be a client myself.
Yeah. That one's coming out mid January. So that's something 2024 we're working on right now. We're trying to finalize the docs first week of January, so we should be up and running by mid-January. And then we do an annual event, probably August 2024. I don't know, I'll probably be speaking somewhere. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what 2024 has in hold for us?
What's that?
You got a podcast.
So podcast is Hive with us, Hive with us.com. We have 400 and almost 50 episodes.
Ooh,
nice. We do a lot of education stuff covering there. And then $1 million land mastermind.com, HiveMindCRM.io, Daniel HiveMind, HiveMindCRM on every platform. We got like 600 YouTube videos. There's a lot of stuff out there. You look hard enough. You can Google me.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah. You got a Wikipedia page yet?
Last thing, Dan. I saw you guys. You guys were you and Anthony. You're looking for a land deal under $100,000.
Yeah.
What other just does the number matter as far as acreage, or are you just looking for something under $100,000?
Looking for something under $100,000 that we can turn into two or more.
All right, y'all heard the man. It's time to get to work.
I love that, man.
Yeah.
Well, man, I really appreciate you taking out the time today.
Absolutely.
Obviously, you know, you've helped me all year. I posted on Twitter that you know, and I gotta get you to in the mastermind as well, Deshane and Alex, because you can just learn so much. There's so many.
I've learned a lot in this today, right now.
Yeah. So many different individuals, like Jay Fit was just in the chat, Olivia was just in the chat. There's another individual, Ricky Anderson, he also invests in land as well. Man, it's so important to be around people that are like-minded and that challenge.
Absolutely.
Having conversations with Dan and, you know, like asking him questions and picking his brain has really advanced me, you know, as an investor. And it showed me that there's a thousand ways to skin this real estate cat. Like, it really, really is.
For sure.
Final tip, don't ever say pick your brain again.
Having those diverse options of, you know, diversifying your streams of income. You know, obviously average millionaire's got 7 streams of income, so trying to get into as many as possible, you know. So that was good. Learned a lot today with that. On the real though, everybody always says there's so many ways to skin a cat. Is there really? Like, how many ways can you really skin a cat?
I'm sure it is. My mom
use a knife for a spoon.
My mom a country, so I got all the country sayings.
You got all the ways? Okay. Man. All right. That'll be the subject of the next live show, How to Skin a Cat with Donovan.
The first 5 ways out of 1,000 to skin a cat. Well, Dan, we appreciate you, man. Sure. We'll definitely talk more off camera as well. And then, shoot, hopefully we can get you a land deal here soon so we can get paid. So
let's go. Sir. Love the sound of that, man. Truly appreciate it.
Appreciate
looking forward to the next
one.
All right,
guys, take care.
Have a good one.
Hey, if you have any deals you'd like to submit to the Hive Mind and our team, go to hivebc.io. It's actually the Hive Buyers Club. Submit your deals, and we can hopefully dispose your deal for you. Have a great day.